Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
from New York to Bishop's Rock off the English coast in 3 days, 10 hours, and 40 minutes, the liner United States established a new Atlantic speed record, July 6, 1952. Cheering crowds at Southampton hailed the American ship that had clipped 10 hours from the transatlantic mark set by Britain's own Queen Mary. Then westbound, the United States knifing through the Atlantic for her second record crossing. It was noted by the builders of the ship that in the event of necessity for emergency conversion to military service, the United States could transport 14,000 men, or virtually a full division, 10,000 miles without putting into port for food, fresh water, or fuel. But for the crew and officials and passengers aboard the liner, the greatest moment was now at hand. The United States was reaching Ambrose Lightship outside New York with the Blue Riband of the Atlantic, having made the return trip in a record 3 days, 12 hours, 12 minutes. Saluting the ship whose maiden voyage shattered Atlantic speed marks going over and coming back. At the turn of the century and beyond, Great Britain and Germany dominated leadership in fast Atlantic crossings. Now, for the first time in almost 100 years, the speed crown was claimed by the Stars and Stripes. New York, home port for many of the greatest ships on the oceans, really put on a show. A big broom symbolized the sweep of the Blue Ribbon Speed Trophy by the $70 million United States, America's first lady of the high seas.
Good afternoon. This is Disabled American Veterans in Action Radio. Today, this is Marilyn White, your hostess. Today's topic is benefits and compensation. And today is December the 16th. It is 2015. Well, we should be joined in a few minutes or later by Dr. George Anders.
I'm right here. Good afternoon, Marilyn.
All right. Now you can take over the beginning announcements.
Oh, well, yeah. No, you were doing quite fine. Yeah, I'd like to just redo it and tell everybody, please remember our the organization that we are the military branch of. We represent the club for the SS United States. Please consider making a donation to the Conservancy to save our great vessel. Check out www.ssusc.org. SSUSC.org. We averted a shutdown today. You know that, Marilyn? We got a budget, and it looks okay, but they've cut something for veterans. I haven't gotten the full scoop on it, but it seems like we have a budget. So I'm looking to find out what it is they cut, because I saw a footnote that came out of one of the discussions from the Budgetary Committee where something was cut for budget for the veterans, and I was like, uh-oh. So I'm trying to get down to the bottom of it. But we do have a budget. There will be no shutdown the end of 2016.
Till when?
The end of next year, the end of 2016.
Wow, good. And I'd like to piggyback on, for those of you either don't know or forgot, we will get no cost of living raise. There will be none. Your VA compensation, pension check, there will be no cost of living. Also, if you receive Social Security disability, there will be no increases, no cost of living increases. And also, veterans, when monitor the activities of Social Security, what happens to Social Security benefits? usually affects veterans' benefits. So that's a little FYI out there. Dr. George?
Yes, I quite agree. When we look at the fact of the matter that we've gotten away from this shutdown this time, we were just hours away, but we began to see signs of life last night where there was a bipartisan effort to try to bring this to some sort of aversion, which I didn't think they would let it shut down again, because it just doesn't look good twice on the same watch. But the end result of it, is that we must stop this financial mismanagement to where we're taking it over to we're taking it over the edge. America's not taking care of what she's got already, and she's got a lot of souls on board, and we've got to try to figure out what we're going to do to help each other to do something.
Well,
that being said, that's why I'm glad we're here, because we're here to help the veterans and their families to get their mission done, to help them realize the benefits that are available to them because of their service.
Well, wow. I'm not no way a fan of Donald Trump, but he said one thing out of his mouth that made sense. He would not allow the illegal immigrants to come over here. That's the only thing he said smart out of his mouth that I agree with. We're not taking care of our own. We're not taking care of the citizens of the United States, the veterans of the United States, but yet and still you're going to bring these immigrants over here to take the money from us. I got a problem with that. Like I said, I'm by no means am I a Trump supporter, but he finally said something decent out of his mouth that made sense. So I go with him on that one. But tonight.
I was going to say, the only thing I can say out of that, you know, even a stop clock tells the truth twice a day.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, what you were about to say, Mary?
I like it. So, tonight, topic is always veterans' benefits and compensation. The call-in number, because I don't remember neither one of us saying it, but
347-884-8078. That is our Brooklyn Navy Yard call-in number. If you have benefits questions, this is ABVI, and we are available to you for those questions.
And those, when you call in those questions, when I talk of benefits, I talk veteran to veteran, not VA to veteran. There is a difference. Whenever you hear people talking about benefits, I'm firm believer of veteran to veterans issues. So, because a lot of times people that do the claim that does this benefit thing, you know, sometimes you think, well, Lord, are these people working for Veterans Affairs or this working for me? So, and that's why what mainly got me involved into doing benefits and wanting to do the show, because when I put my claim in, I ain't had nobody help me. And the service officers who I thought helped me work for the VA or DA for me as a veteran. So I got a pretty good success rate the way I'm doing my claim, the way I do claims. So that's the main goal. Any veteran is out there making money. So, but tonight, one of the things that I've been learning, and if you are a veteran, once you get your benefits, once you get benefits from, Veterans Affairs, you should be doing, they have for veterans, life insurance for service-connected disability. You have 2 years from the date that you are awarded your benefits to get this veteran service-connected disability life insurance. If you wait after the 2 years, you can't come back later and try to get the benefits. It's not going to happen. And if you're currently receiving the insurance and you have not requested for any to get the do more premiums on your claim, like you want to take out a larger life insurance, because at the time that you got this life insurance, you monetary funds to keep it up, you can come back and do it. I've had insurance since 2005, and more things I'm learning, I can't go and increase my insurance policy if I wanted to, because the 2 years have passed. Even though I'm currently receiving the benefits, I can't go and say, okay, well, I would like to add more, enhance my claim, my policy, because I want to take out more on me. I can't do that. You can't do it. So that's just FYI. So, and a lot of stuff that I talk about is based on what I have been through, not with what I heard, because hearsay doesn't work. So a lot of stuff you hear me tell you about on this radio show, either I've experienced it or another veteran has. So, I mean, I'm not. So, again, if you're getting receiving benefits and it's been within 2 years of you receiving your service-connected disability, get the insurance. You could be waived $10,000 of it, but if you want to add more to the policy to go with that, you have to do it within 2 years. And that little statement that if you get a new disability, you can then apply. That I tried that too yesterday, and because I already had the insurance, any new disabilities, I can't come back and claim them. I tried it yesterday. So, and I'm going to be talking more about the benefits at a later date, because they're sending me updated information. And if you listen to the show and you hear me talk about something I've already talked about, that's because I'm getting a mass number of veterans weren't aware of this and they weren't aware of that. So I'll come back and I will talk about it again on the show, because we're here to get the information out. So if you hear a show that I've talked about again, that means that the message didn't get out. And we here, that's the our job is to get the message out. Make sure every veteran know what's available to them and go for it. Excuse me. So, but that and I was talking to Dr. George earlier about the, what is that where you, the travel pay. I've learned stuff on that. Now, what I thought was, come on, y'all.
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Rude house guest. That's what I was saying. There's a lot of stuff out here, and we don't know. A lot of us veterans don't know. We don't know a lot of stuff. And we need more shows like this. We need people to be more informative. A lot of us have knowledge, and we don't share our knowledge with our fellow veterans, and they're struggling in the same situation that you may have just gotten yourself out of. And so that's all I'm saying. We need, if you know something, share it with a veteran. DC is getting ready to have a rally in January, Veterans Rally. So we need to come out. You know, I'm going to be there talking about veterans benefits information, not VA veterans, veteran to veteran. And so, but the main thing with the, like I said, with the insurance is as soon as you get your compensation, that's how soon you should be filing for the VA life insurance, especially if you have none. Excuse me. Do you have any questions for me, Dr. George?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking how some people are just so stupid. They get twisted because we didn't have a show. They were saying, oh, you're not on the air anymore. And I said, who told you that? You know, and it's like, wait a minute. We had a very short show because Stephanie was not there. I don't know what happened. I can't figure out. I've tried. I don't like to bring this stuff to air. But we operate. No, but we operate.
You're breaking up like a chain.
No, because I'm talking to somebody.
Oh, okay. So, please excuse me. That was one of the things I wanted to bring up was about the insurance, because I'm still learning as I go about different things that you and I think maybe, you know, that changes that come. So, and then, I don't know if I told you, Dr. George, but we lost, the Washington, D.C. VA lost 3 employees in the same day. And just catch it. The 3 veterans, and then one of them, I believe, from my understanding, 2 of them died from heart attacks. If I'm not mistaken, 2 of them died from a mass heart attack. So, and our condolences go to the families of the fallen employees. So. I don't know why I'm just zombied out right now. And so, Dr. George, I'm sinking in sand here.
Well, the thing is that we've got a lot going on nationally with our veterans, coast to coast. I mean, cities are trying to respond to the needs of veterans, but we don't have a lot of veterans that are active and in the community. And the hard part is that we are trying to reach our audience. We've been very successful in 2 years of getting out and getting to people and bringing our message forward. And the last part of this year, for a good portion of the weeks, we've been talking to 250,000 people per week. through our various sources of the internet. So we're making an impression, but the thing is that what we're having to do is to bring it more localized and to vocalize what's going on. We have to understand that we have a mission, and this mission involves all of us. And a lot of us don't have the planning experience, and we say we want to do something, but we get the idea, but we don't know how to implement it and how to properly plan it so to get it forward and to move it forward, to get the information and news that you need.
Well, that's me.
You know, to the that's right me. Sources. And that's one of the reasons why I'm glad that we're here, Marilyn.
Yeah, but that is me right there, because there are a lot of things that I would like to plan. I want to do rallies. I'm trying to get us to bring awarenesses. The way we're being treated in our VA, we need to do that. I don't know how to do it. I'm not ashamed to say that I don't know. You know, but a lot of things I'm not. But and like I said, you know, I'm always learning stuff. So if seems like I mean, once I stop learning anyway, somebody else needs to do this job. And, you know, I always like to have re-innovation days. I'm still finding out how much stuff it is that a lot of us as veterans, we don't know what's available. You know, a lot of the veterans don't even take a skip. After years of getting out the service. And I was telling you earlier, Dr. George, where I had read there was a case in Baltimore where the veteran was applying for his benefits, and he was saying that in Vietnam War. And when I read the paperwork on it from the Board of Veterans Appeals in Baltimore, this is a Baltimore case, the gentleman got denied all of his, they denied him for everything because he did not have a current diagnosis. He was with, you know, that
he wasn't currently in treatment.
He wasn't in treatment. He wasn't. He didn't have a current diagnosis, which let the VA know right then that he wasn't in no treatment. So everything was denied on that basis. The veteran, like I said, Vietnam veteran, so. He got denied for depression and all this kind of stuff. He had been so long out of the service. That's why I can't reiterate enough, and I can't say this enough. Just because you have an illness or a disability that you occurred in the service do not mean that you will be compensated. Doesn't mean that. That's a bad misconception that a lot of veterans have. We figure, oh, well, it occurred in the service, so they got to pay us. You know, they pay you on the severity of your disabilities. They pay you whether or not you're being compensated for it. So the thing is that it's not going to happen. If you just, because over years, things can improve. So if you don't keep seeing the doctors, you don't have paper trails, you're going to have an issue in getting your benefits, bottom line. You know, you get out, especially those Vietnam veterans, Koreans, some Desert Storm Iraqi veterans, if you've been out of service for like 2 or 3 years or a year or so and you haven't been in no treatment, if the VA is not going to be able to associate it with your disability because you're not, they don't have a paper trail. They don't know you. That's why a lot of veterans tell me they be at home and they won't go for their back pain claiming their back is hurting bad. But you won't go to the emergency room, you don't go to the doctor. So they don't know you still have a problem. Then you're wondering, oh, well, I keep getting denied. That's why you're being denied. You've been out of service 4 years, and now all of a sudden, you know, it's hard. You may need, I mean, it's been in your military records, but the fact that you're not being treated, the VA don't know that it's a continuous problem. That's the thing. You know, you said, no, oh, my back hurts, but I'm going to treat it myself. Or I'm going to go to the doctor next month or next week. You know.
You know, people don't like to wait. And I get that. I get that. But you got to buck up and you got to go in there and you got to face it because they don't like to wait. I get that. Because sometimes you get there and you're waiting forever. And you've been there. You know what it's like. So, I mean, we got to understand that not everybody likes that. But,
benefits, and you trying to show, they're trying to help, you trying to get benefits. And you got to be slow to get
benefits. I think we need to have some fair rules of the road. If you're going to your appointment and you have an appointment, now this is only if you have an appointment. If you're waiting more than 15 minutes, say something to someone, because 15 minutes is reasonable. Because after 15 minutes, that is the official grace period for a VA appointment. After that, they're running late. So the thing is that you should be able to follow that guideline that if you're there in a timely fashion for your appointment, say your appointment's at 10 o'clock, and it gets to be 10:20. You should be checking to find out what's going on because you do have an appointment. The thing is that each appointment is supposed to be a little bit of quality time. Sometimes they do run over, but it shouldn't be habitual.
Well, let me tell you, I don't know what VA you go to that's going to do that, but I'm not D.C. In D.C., the VAs used to have the sign on the wall, if you've been waiting more than 20 minutes, say something. They taking them all down out of our VA. They took them down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, the thing is, if you have, and here's another thing, since he brought up appointments. If you can wait 3 months, 2 months for an appointment, it doesn't show that the problem is severe. Because if you're in enough pain, trust me, you can't wait all them days with you. That's why I always tell people, you know, when your pain is severe enough like that, and they're going to want to see you in 3 months and 4 months, and you can wait, where is the severity in your pain? And sometimes if you go to ER a couple of times, they're going to boost your appointment up. But anytime you got to go to the ER for pain, the VA is, you know, they look at that closely. It's almost like a straw in your hat. Because if it's severe enough for you to go to ER, then it shows that you got a continuous chronic a problem.
Yes, exactly. You have to speak up about the issues, and that is not that is not something that you want to allow to linger. You have to have a sense of urgency. Now, if you're in an emergency room, you're going to have to wait. Okay, you're just going to have to wait. But if you have a doctor's appointment with your team, you're supposed to have, I give them 15 minutes. That's reasonable. If you got more than 15 minutes to think I could sit around longer than that, good luck with that one, because I ain't there. We got to get back to this. And I am saying something about it to the patient advocate if I check them out on the way. But the thing is that you don't waste my time. My time's too valuable. If you don't want to thank me for my service and mean it, then you're going to meet me at a decent hour. You're not going to sit there and try to have me running all about. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there. I've had a couple of things with the current doctor that I'm seeing. He's a good guy. He's a nice guy. But the thing about it is that he got to the point that I had to get to the point that I had to jerk him around a couple of times to do right. But we understand each other. So I work with him because he's fair with me and he's honest with me. I think he gives me a good assessment of my body, and he does help me to keep up with the other appointments. So I'm very happy with him. But if I had somebody that was trying to give me a hard time, I am not doing that.
Don't go to the patient advocate in D.C., I'll tell you that. They may got a good patient advocacy where Dr. George goes. But, not here. You can go to patient advocacy all you want until you turn gray. I don't like patient advocacy. They don't do anything for me at my VA. But, so, they may got a good one where he goes.
No, it's just how you work it. Because the other thing is that, you know, I learned something from you when I learned how to stop people from that were troublesome to me, from irritating me when I went to the VA. I did a release of information. I filed a release of information. You taught me that move. And that got one person up off of me. That was just a little bit. Every time I was around that nurse, she would do things to irritate and upset.
Yeah, but see, with that nurse, you write up to the California Licensure Board. Because going to VA, in-house in VA, is really a waste of my time.
Well, you need oversight there, because they've been dealing with your stuff for years. And they think they got it contained. That is not the way that you deal with veterans. You have to answer veterans. You cannot sit there and think that you're going to mistreat us and continue to abuse us. It's not going down like that. We as a group do not sit back and accept substandard behavior.
Yeah, but for benefits purposes, I suggest you go through the ER, do walk-in visits. You need a paper trail is the key. And since they schedule everybody appointments the same time of day, that's why the backlog is there. That's why you got a lot of veterans waiting 2 and 3 hours, because everybody's appointment is scheduled at 12 o'clock. So that's a lot of time, but for benefits purposes, sometimes you got to bite that.
I tell them first thing in the morning, I know that people are trying to get home and different things, but I do my appointments, try to do them at least in the afternoon, because I do not like first thing in the morning. Because it's like you run into attitudes and you got 50 million people at the same appointment at the same time.
Wherever, even in the afternoon, everybody got the same scheduled appointment. So doesn't make a difference what time you go there. You still might be waiting for Jesus come back to be seen. So that's my thing. But for benefit purposes, you might have to bite that bullet. But the main thing is getting paper trail on your disability. You have to show that you currently have the disability. And that's the key. If you don't, like I said, when I read this man's, he was a Vietnam combat veteran. But listen, when he got out of Vietnam, it was probably back in the 70s or something like that. So from 70 to 2015, he may have been seeing doctors at the time, but now, recently or whenever he filed this BBA, he hadn't been seeing a doctor. I never diagnosed him. At all. I mean, I've been always preaching this, and I've always, when I talk to veterans about their benefits, you know, and believe it or not, benefit, you know, I was talking to a gentleman today, and he wants to get a pension. I said, I don't do pension. Unless everything's been exhausted. I do. Pension is just what it says. And I know you're not. If you become 100% pension veteran, then you can't go, even at 100% pension, which pays about $1,600 a month for 100% pension veteran. But even at that 100%, you cannot get the free dental care, and you cannot get the retired ID card. So you have to be service connected at 100% for that. A lot of cases, you have to be permanent total. So, you know, with either one of the pension or compensation, you have to show that you have a current diagnosis for it. You have to show you definitely have to show that. They don't like to pay stable veterans as it is. So, VA ain't never been too fond on that. You know, a lot of times they don't even want to pay the veterans that unstable. That are not stable. So when you doing these benefits, you know, cover all your bases. As far as knowing you're doing the claim. Just because you go to the doctors does not mean that your condition has gotten worse. When you file for increases, you have to show that the condition is a chronic condition. So, you know, you got to show the condition has gotten worse. Going to the doctor shows the condition is chronic, which is what you need to keep getting your monies. So, you're trying your money. Yes, then you have to show the condition's gotten worse. And like I said, this gentleman, he wasn't even in no type of treatment plan. So, it's very important to maintain treatment.
Yes, it is. You have to be able to have that paper trail, folks. No ticky, no shirty, as the Chinese man used to say at the Chinese laundry where I grew up in New Jersey. If you came into his laundry and you did not have a ticket, you did not get a shirt. So he would tell you no ticky, no shirty.
So...
he's not making enough, but that's how he actually spoke.
And then when you're filing claims, it's good to try to file everything, what you're doing at one time. You come back and you nickel and dime them. They may, like when you come to add stuff on your claim, the claim has want to add as do everything in your claim that you can possibly do at one time. Because when you add like you put a claim in a month ago and you say, oh no, I forgot to put this in, forgot to do that, and you fill out another claim, they're going to snatch the claim already in the rotation and start it over. But and always, if you don't, if you have less than 100%, you always want to put in for your increases. A lot of times we go to the doctors. You know, you got to be mindful what the doctor says, because the doctor, a lot of the doctors will write as you, what you may or may not need. But, however, if the doctor is so kind as to do that, then you have to prepare to back up what the doctor is saying. One of the ways you back up what the doctor is saying is by going to getting a pay scale on the stuff you want the doctor to support you in. Doctor said, if you say your doctor tell you this is getting worse, then you gotta put paper trail on it to show that, because the evidence gotta match what the doctor is saying in a lot of cases. You know, they so that's just FYI. I mean.
We have to be aware, you know, because if you're not aware of this type of information, what we end up with is misinformation. So we have to be aware of, you know, even this sort of information, because this is stuff that not everybody knows. And if you're new, just starting out, and you don't know the rules of the road, you have to have some order of operation to begin to try to negotiate this maze. Because there is a little bit of order of operation, but sometimes it is not always effective. You know, because like Marilyn was saying, her rep has been ineffective in helping her. We've had to bring congressional oversight to the function of what is actually going on. We're having to bring oversight to the forefront, because if we don't, in saying to our community that we're looking out for them, then we're not, which we are, and we'll continue to do.
But one thing, like, for anybody out there that's interested in even to file a claim, and no matter who you have to do your claim, DAV, any service organization, or even yourself, there are certain forms that you can only even put in your claim. So, when you need, like, if you don't have your information, they have a form called an emergency file a claim form. And that's what you send in. Once you mail in the intent to file a claim form, and you have a year from the date of the claim to gather your medical records or your 14 or whatever you think that you may need. Now, when filing filing for like DD-214, when you do that, you want to ask for your DD-214, You want to ask for all military medical records and 201 files and any medals you may have incurred. Some people have, you know, if you had, some people find don't even know they have purple hearts and have them. But that's why I'm saying a lot of, you know, requests for everything at the same time, so that way you'll need it, not have it. I mean, you'll have it and not need it, but not have it. So. You know, as much as we do, you know, much of stuff we need on our claims, and knowing these things kind of helps you out a lot. A lot of, like I said, a lot of service officers, if you go and do a form for your DD-214, that's all they're going to do for you. And then you come later down the road, you need a medical record because you run into somebody like me who know how to use the medical records. And then you got to sit off and wait until the squeeze, eat, just order everything. And then I found out, because this happened to a veteran, about, I didn't even know, when you file for life insurance, make sure you find out how long, what the grace period is. A lot of them are 2 to 5 years before you, if you die within the 2 or 5 years, they may or may not give you the $10,000 of life insurance coverage that you've asked for. Do you know about that, Dr. George? Dr. George?
Yeah.
Know about the grace period?
What was that?
Did you know about the grace period when filing for that?
No, I didn't.
If you file, like, say today you go and get life insurance through I want to say USAA. I don't know if it applies to them, but I'm using them as an example. And you thinking, okay, well, when you start paying this money off in 2 years, that you're going to get the $25,000 that you may be paying for. And then, but because it's under 2 years, they're only going to pay you the money you put into the insurance. So then you go, you're a veteran, you die, and within the 2 years, then you think you're going to get the policy you paid for. And they're going to say, oh, no, you've been only had it for 2 years. So now we can only pay you the money that you put into the insurance. Can you imagine the horror in that? We just went through this last week with a Vietnam veteran. That's how I know, and that's why I'm passing this on. There might be a veteran out there that has that has somebody that may be going on and they want to get life insurance.
My doorbell just rang. My doorbell just rang.
Okay.
And the United States government just rang my doorbell.
What?
And I'm sitting here looking at.
So who is the United States? Yeah, I'm lost.
The United States government just rang my bell from the Library of Congress. And I'm looking at a certified copy of law.
Okay. Well, is that about what we about the life insurance? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. No, no, that's a different subject. But I was just telling you what just happened. As you know, folks, we do research here at ADVIA, and we've been historians and doing some research over time to find out news and information. And what we've done over this time has been that we put things together to make sure that we're able to deal with getting this information together for people. And we're, as we go forward into 2016, I'm going to be talking about a few other things or remedies that are available to us as veterans, and we should be aware of it because we're not always in the know. And so in order to be a little bit more aware of the laws that happen to us for that will operate as adhesive contracts in commerce, we need to be aware because everything in this society, including all crimes, are commercial and where they are in commerce, and everything is about commerce, and we need to understand that. Because we swore to take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. So we need to be able to understand exactly what does that mean and what does this document mean. Because the 14th Amendment is something that kind of emancipates one person, but you end up not with freedom, but a cohesive contract to the government. Mm. When we talk about our Constitution. So we have to talk about these things from time to time. And this is how come I'm so adamant on when we stand behind our veterans, such as when we're going through things that we see the obscenities that are going on in East Orange and in D.C. and in Sacramento and Phoenix and other cities. This is why we have to constantly have a media forum that we can bring this, these types of things forward. Because if we don't bring them forward, folks, it's on us. Nobody else is. That's just the way it is. And I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but that's the heaven's truth on that. You know, so we're getting to this point where we have to do a lot better. Well, we've reached the end of our hour. We are in the final 2 minutes. And Marilyn, what do you got planned for next week? Anything special?
Not at this time. I'm always looking for new stuff to talk about. So I'm trying to work on some new stories and new benefit stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as we get through this budget, we should have a few goodies to tell the audience about, hopefully. Well, it looks like we reached the end of the show, folks, and we'll be back. I'm trying to hope that I can get in front of the mic maybe by 5:30 my time, which would be 0130 hours Zulu. But I will have to see, and I will notify everybody by the page to see, let you know how everything's going during the day before we can tell you whether we're going to have a show. But I'm going to try that out just to make sure that we do cover and let you know that we are here on Thursdays. Even though we may be missing from the air, we're still around watching Facebook, watching Twitter, watching our other mediums of keeping you guys informed. So, you know, if you guys have questions or comments, please put them out there. We want to hear from you. And thank you. We're out, folks. Get your parachute, Marilyn.
Your eligible Amazon Smile purchase to Women's Veterans Social Justice.
To Women's Veterans who?
Social Justice. You know, I have issues with these type of programs. I think they all need enemas. I really, uh-oh.
Yeah, this thing is from the Library of Congress. This is to certify that the collection of Library Congress contains a publication entitled Public Statutes at Large of the United States of America, March 33 to June 1934. And attached here is photocopies from volume XLV.
Hold on, Dr. George. I'm not even in the back. So.
150.
I'm not in the back.
Oh. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me make sure I am, too.
It mutes me when I go to the back. So we'll talk offline. I'm going to shut this down.